well, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. He is indeed. It's my great privilege and honor to introduce this morning's speaker. We've talked on the phone two or three times, been praying for him, his ministry, which we're connected to through our relationship with what used to be Agua Viva, which is now La Fuente, Mexicali. And the head dude is with us today from the ministry of La Fuente. He's got a wonderful heart for Jesus. And I read some of his notes. You're going to be inspired and God's going to touch you. Would you please? Oh, Pastor Diego, his real name is Dwight. Yeah. But his real name is Diego. All right. So people that love him and know him and that he ministers to for the last three decades plus know him as Diego. His wife is Mary Jo, who is not with us, but look how cute she is. Would you please welcome Pastor Diego as he ministers the Word of God?
Can I use this thing? I'm on. Thank you very much. You want me down here? Or?
No, you go wherever you want to go.
I'll go down here unless you want to see me better. Yeah, okay, I'll go up here. I know what that's like. Good morning. I'm impressed. And now I know, you know, the half had not been told me. What an awesome church. I go to Mexicali with the Molina family, and they are always raving about Lake Point. And so I had to come and see. And yeah, this is, and I can see where they get, they're like the most, on the zeal factor, they're like an 11. And I see where they get that also, right? But it's a great honor to be here. And I want to thank you. Thanks for coming out. You know, the devil's trying to stop church. You know that, right? And it's great to come out. I was shaking a lot of hands, and I ran into someone, and I thought, oh, man, I don't know that people are that comfortable, but we can do these things, you know, fist bumps or something. And but it is a great, great honor to meet you, and greetings from Mexico. ¿Se habla español aquí? ¿Hablan? No. Un poco. How many have gone to Puerto Vallarta on vacation? We have four churches in Puerto Vallarta area. So, but my wife and I have been in Mexico for 31 years. We've lived in Mexico longer than we lived in the States. So if you kind of get my Spanish-English mess-ups, just roll with it. It's part of the package deal, okay? And but it is awesome. I want to thank your pastors, Tom and Pam. He said, just call me Tom. I appreciate that. And but I thank you so much for taking a risk and letting me come and being with you. So we find it really, it's just impressive to see what God's doing up here. So let me start right off with Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 30. And I think you'll recognize this portion of Scripture. It's pretty famous. Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, and he came to Jesus. But when Jesus saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." How many have heard that little story before, right? Everybody criticizes him for sinking, but he's the only one who got out of the boat. But I was thinking some time back about this, and I realized I've been walking on the water for 40 years. Now, that might sound presumptuous to you. You might think, oh, he thinks he's all that. But I think you have too. And literally, I mean, God just said one thing, come. And Peter stepped out and began to walk. The Bible is very clear in Hebrews. It says, "My just one shall live by faith. And if his soul shrinks back, I'll have no pleasure in him." So you and I are in the business of walking by faith. Can you say amen? That's what we do. We just step out, and if we sink, we sink. But, you know, we just, that's the way we started out. When we first went to Mexico 31 years ago, just before we left, we had a problem. We had an issue that was really difficult. My wife is a natural born mother, just so you know. It's her gifting. It's what she's always wanted to do. But we couldn't have kids. And, you know, we were going to the doctor and they were checking us out. And we just, it wasn't going to happen. And actually the doctor said to us, you know, you need to think about adopting because you're not going to have kids. And so my wife was pretty devastated. And I was like, well, you know, maybe God's just going to keep us without children so we can travel and do stuff like that. But in the end, we were surprised because we got a phone call and the person said, will you adopt this baby that's going to be born, a baby boy? And I was just like, you know, get behind me, Satan. I don't even know. It was in the family. You just don't do that. And it's like all the money. How are you going to pull this off, right? And so we went through the process of, but let me tell you something about before I get to this. Because when we got ordained into ministry, they used to do a thing. It was kind of cool. They call a presbytery. And they would bring a bunch of prophet guys in. And they brought in like three of these guys that would, you know, give you a word when you get ordained into ministry. And this one guy, I remember, I just found out we're never going to have kids. And the guy's like, thus saith the Lord, you will be a great mother and father. And he gave me this verse here in Isaiah 43, 5 through 6. Fear not, for I'm with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And this guy's given this prophecy, and I thought, this is the worst prophet ever. I mean, this guy's off. He doesn't even have a clue how off he is, and you're a father and mother. I would kind of. So then we get this phone call, you know, will you adopt the baby? And we went through the process. You know, we didn't have a home. But the social worker happened to be a Christian, and she used my parents' home for the home study. And we just had miracle after miracle happen. My son was born and literally handed to my wife right in the hospital. And it cost less than a natural birth. And 3 months later, we had him in Mexico with us. I mean, that's unheard of, okay, folks? That's what walking on the water is. But once we got to Mexico, you know, we started going. We were a couple years in, and my wife got the baby itch. And I said, oh, no, you know. She said, I want a baby. And I'm like, sweetie, come on now. God gave us one. You don't, beggars aren't choosers. You know what I mean? Because just calm down. She's like, but I really feel like God wants to give us another baby. And I'm like, Mary Jo, please, you got to. And I'm seeing her heart get broken. And she's, you know, she's struggling. So one time, we literally got in a fight. And I said to her, I said, dear, when someone walks up to you and says, I'm pregnant and I want you to take my baby, then we'll consider it. And she, you know, walked off. She was kind of mad at me. And so a week later, I'm at this park in Mexico. And I had a team that came down from the U.S. And one of the girls was pregnant. I thought she was one of the staff members' wives or something. I didn't know what was going on. But my wife went out with the baby in the stroller and was like mad at me, wasn't going to go see me at the meeting. But then she thought, oh, I'll go. And so she goes to the meeting. I was preaching. And she went and met this girl. And the girl, they talked a while. And for some reason, she told the story of how we adopted our son. And the girl went away and a few minutes later came back and said, you know, I got pregnant. I've been a Christian all my life, but I messed up. I met this guy. I got pregnant. but I'm going to give this baby up to adopt for adoption. Will you adopt my baby? You should have seen her coming back at me, you know. You said it. Well, that's fine. You don't just adopt babies. I mean, if anybody here's tried to adopt, you know it's like 20 grand easy. I mean, it's just a real hassle. But the girl just happened to live in the same hometown as my in-laws. And we moved up. I mean, we went up. We were living in Mexico. We went up for a few weeks. The social worker was another Christian. She supported us as missionaries for a few years after the fact, but used my in-laws' home as the home study. And, you know, my daughter Rebecca was handed to my wife and cost less than a natural birth. You know, that's the way we live. Just God tells you to do something and you go, well, I can't. It's impossible. But both of our children are a miracle. Oh, and by the way, Mr. Bad Prophet, now we have an orphanage with 30 children. I've had kids adopt me. I have literally one of our pastors calls me dad to this day. It's just a natural thing for us. I mean, you go to my house, and we'll have 10 to 15 children in my house almost every lunchtime, because that's my wife. That's what she does. And she runs our orphanage that it's called Nana's House. It's a great thing. But and then, you know, we started with children and youth. And, you know, right now on Sunday, we have 27 churches in Mexico with over 4,000 people in attendance in all those churches. It's just, you're a mother and a father. God said it and pulled it off. I don't know how long you've been waiting for certain things and standing on the water, but God just calls us to do it. And, you know, maybe you're not that happy with what you were called to do. Maybe it's not that easy. But that's what we do. My just one will live by faith. This is about trusting in something we cannot see. And it's our faith is the evidence of what we cannot see. And so today I want to challenge you to recognize, right? He upholds us. He's keeping this all together. I mean, think about it. Everything you are, God made. And if he just says, I'm done, you're done. Right? If he doesn't breathe out, you don't breathe in. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, a number of years ago, I was kind of not feeling very well. I was overweight. I realize now I was kind of depressed. I didn't know it at the time. But I was kind of like starting to think like, okay, I'll probably die pretty soon. And I better get my affairs in order, you know. And I'm getting, and all of a sudden one day it hit me. It's like, hold on. Why am I giving up? If you're still breathing, why are you giving up? Right? Quit wasting the air. We need it. No, I'm kidding. We never give up. You know, in Mexico, we say we don't throw in the towel. We don't hang up our tennis shoes. We don't give up. Amen? And he upholds all things by the word of his power. He's faithful even when you're not. And literally, there was something underneath that water with Peter that was holding him up. And it was the word, come. He just said, come. And that produced a platform that Jesus could walk, that Peter could walk on. Amen? So in him we live and move and have our being. Everything I have is held together by him. And you know what? This is such a relief, because if you're trying to hold everything together, you're tired. You got to be worn out, man. If you're all stressing because of things that you can't do, you can't add 1 inch to your height, right? You can maybe shrink an eighth, an inch of your width, but you know, that was a joke. It didn't come off too good. Deuteronomy 33 verse 27 says, the eternal God is are your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Have you ever heard of the everlasting arms? If you fall, he'll catch you. If you sink, he'll pull you out. Amen? And you need to quit focusing on the wind and the waves and the struggles around you and start focusing on everlasting arms. He's got your back. He's got you covered. He will catch you. Well, no, I sin so bad. You just don't know. He'll catch you. He always catches us. Amen? So this is what I want to encourage you to do today. I've been encouraging Pastor Martin down in Mexicali with some of this because it's so important. But I want to ask you to keep walking in spite of whatever obstacle comes your way. Because there's some serious obstacles in life, and you need to keep walking, right? Mark 11:23, I want to read this, very famous. It says, "Truly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him." How many of you heard that before? Have you ever realized this has never happened? Right? I'm sorry, but it's never happened. I'll always get some great historian, the Greeks back in the day, it's never happened. So Jesus said, if you speak to this mountain, it'll be thrown into the sea, but no one's ever done it. Could you imagine if I just came in Mount St. Helens, that was me? I was down in Bend area, and, they got the sisters, two mountains, right? Three mountains, yeah. I should have. There's only two now. I threw the other one. But imagine if I just came and get thrown into the deep. You know what the environmentalists would do to me? You stole our mountain, right? It's just stupid to talk this way, but it's never literally happened. Therefore, it has to be a figure of other obstacles, right? It just has to be. It has to be. This is an example. I'm using an example of throwing a mountain into the sea to say that you and I speak to our mountains. You speak to your mountains. See, faith always speaks. I believe, therefore I speak. Faith always speaks. And a lot of us are speaking stuff that is not faith, it's fear. But if you can begin to speak to those obstacles, instead of being defeated, I have put it on myself, this title of a job description. I'm the guy who takes away excuses. Because, if some of you got great excuses. Well, I had my share. I had my share of big excuses. I was told that I was so dumb. My brother-in-law said 3 weeks before I got saved, he said, if there's one guy who could never get saved, it's Dwight. He's gone. He's reprobate. He's completely useless. And, of course, God said, oh, yeah? They'll show you. 3 weeks later, I'm in his youth group with my hands raised up singing, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord." Well, it wasn't that song, but it was similar. But there's no excuse. I couldn't speak Spanish when I went to Mexico. That was a great excuse. I'm not called to these people. Can't do it. And it was hard. Oh, it was so hard. And then, of course, you make some of the worst, most embarrassing mistakes you could imagine, right? Say things like, I've come into my garden, my sister, my bride. I've eaten my diaper. It's not pañal. It's pañal, not panal. Oh, my goodness. It was so hard. And then they, of course, invent 17 words for one thing. It's like, it's just a pig. Don't call it a puerco, a morano, on and a cerdo, a lechon. Just call it a pig. Spanish was brutal to learn. And I remember I thought, I'll give myself 1 year because, it's me. I'm handsome and spiritual. Well, maybe I'm just spiritual. But I remember going, Lord, you know, this is tough, but I'm going to give myself a year. At the end of a year, I said, I'm going to give myself another year. And after 2 years, I preached my first sermon in Spanish, and it was a disaster. They just came to hear me make mistakes. That was the only reason. But, you know, we take away obstacles. We have a saying in our ministry, we plant churches where no one wants to and no one can. And we have churches in places that they've said, there's no way. The city of Tepic, where I'm at, is a 500,000 population capital of the state. And it's never had the kind of church like it has now. Because we don't listen to the obstacles. We speak to the mountains. And when you're walking on water, you know, you just walk and you think about, you know, you just... I was talking about this one day and I thought, you know, after a while it gets a little easier. It really does. When you walk by faith about 40 years into it, it gets easier. And I said my daughter-in-law was there. She leads worship at our church. And I said, you know, man, at a point you can just start dancing on the water. You're not worried about it. So she wrote a song called Dancing on the Water, and we sing it and record it. It's a beautiful song. But we decided a year and a half ago we were going to build a place for our orphanage. And we got land, and I had $10,000, and we started building. And, you know, it's a major project. It's two houses. The girls' home alone is for 18 girls. The boys' is for 12. And so we began the girls' home, and we just started out. I've got almost $200,000 in it. And, you know, when I checked and did the math and stuff, I had $10,000. That's the way we do it. We fortunately we can, because of permits and stuff. You can do things that way in Mexico. You couldn't do it here. But we just start. They say, hey, you know, you got enough to start. We have this old saying, like, if God calls you to go somewhere, buy a plane ticket. If you can't get a plane ticket, take the train, take a boat, you know, do something. You can't get on any of those, then, you know, drive your car. If you don't have a car, ride your bike. If you don't have a bike, jog, walk. If you can't jog or walk, just point in that direction and fall. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. And God's going to catch you, and he's going to uphold you. It's a guaranteed risk when you follow Jesus. It's absolutely guaranteed. The only reason why any of y'all messed up is because you didn't listen to his direction in the first place. But that's okay. He's faithful even when we're faithless. All you've got to do is just do the next thing he says. Today, if you hear his voice, just step out. Believe him. Amen? So we have this thing. We are never stuck. We don't believe in being stuck. We don't allow obstacles. One time, Mary Jo and I were in a situation, transition, and we went and prayed, and we would do this where we're going to pray all night until God shows us what to do. And so we went in this room, and we began to pray. And she, of course, hears God, like, right away. And then I got to agonize on till about 1 in the morning or 2. But right away, she says, I have a vision of us, and we're stuck in the mud. And when she said that, I just... You know, I grew up in Seattle area. I know about getting stuck in mud. and I just said, oh, I know what to do. You got to do something radical. You don't just spin your wheels. You got to go get, best option, get a tractor, right? Or stick some branches under the wheels or do something. You got to get out of that mud. Whatever you do, you maybe need help getting pulled out of the mud. And so we're never stuck. We don't allow ourselves to be stuck. And a lot of times, the devil's lying to you and telling you you're stuck and you're not stuck, right? You always fight. You're always struggling. You know what? That's not true. You need to begin to speak the truth over your marriage, over your life, and believe God that it's going to go forward. Thank you. I sometimes need an amen just to keep going. Remember the children of Israel? They're like at the Red Sea and the army of the Egyptians coming up behind them. They were between a rock and a hard place. I think that's how you, in Spanish we say against the wall, the sword and the wall, right? And so they were stuck, and then they started crying out, God, oh no, what are we going to do? And God's like, why are you crying out to me? Take a step. Step forward. Well, there's water. You're kind of nuts, God. What's the deal? Lord said to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Let me give you a little word today. Go forward. Adelante. Échale ganas. Do it. Go for it. Go forward. I feel like I'm yelling at myself. Amen. It gets easier. It does get easier. You can just start with me. I'm not a good dancer, but hey, you can just dance on the water up here, right? So our works are greater now than they were before. And I realized this because we started building Nana's house, and one day I thought, I haven't stressed out at all about this because it's not my responsibility. All I got to do is just every time something comes in, just hand it over to the builder. Just make sure it keeps going forward as long as it can. And if we run out, then we take a break. I'm not in charge. It's an awesome feeling. It's a great thing, Pastor, with Tom, when we realize that we're not in charge of filling the church or trying to keep people in church. Oh, my goodness. That's difficult. It's better just saying, hey, you know, we just love one another. Two or more gathered together in his name. And that's what we're doing. And we don't have to worry about things that are too difficult for us. Amen? So we don't listen to the unbelieving spies. We believe what God has promised us, and we say it over and over again. You may be, that's name it and claim it. Well, you can say whatever you want, but faith believes and faith speaks. If you speak, that's the way you can put some action to your faith, right? It's just one of the ways that we can say, I believe this. And it's not just wishful thinking. It's like God told us to be ma and pa. And so we're going to believe it and do it, right? And say it. Okay. So today he's saying, come. That's all you need. All you need is just come. Come. Just step out. Why do we have to analyze and criticize and get all worried about what God's telling us to do? Just, you know, he's told us to do some of the wackiest things. That whole Jericho thing, blowing trumpets, and, right? I mean, God is always calling us to do things that just don't make sense. Your family members are going to say, what? Just here, come. Come. And then, you losers in the boat, okay, stay in the boat. I'm going to step out on the water. And I'm going to keep walking on water until I'm gone. Amen? Is someone here today? Can you say, that's right, I'm going to keep walking. It doesn't matter how old you are, you still got to keep walking. Doesn't matter how young you are, you got to keep walking on the water. Amen? His invitation upholds you. You're on the platform of that invitation. You're walking on his invitation. And God's inviting us. He doesn't command us. He invites us. Right? He doesn't say, you get out of that boat, you lazy. You know? He says, come on. Okay. You think you want me to tell you to come on the water? Come on. Amen? He gently leads those who are with young. And he's gently leading us and bringing us to the promises that he's given us. Amen? So, appreciate your prayer for Mexicali and your continued support for them, because they're stepping out on the water big time. You know, I went to Martin, the pastor there, and I said, you got to get out of this building you're in. It was on the second floor. Those of you who've been there know, little place, second floor. Nobody with any disabilities could even get up there. And I just kept saying that. I think Tom told him too. I think some other people told him. And I said to him one day, I'm giving you a kick in the butt. Get out of the boat. And so they found a beautiful place, and that church is going like crazy. And we've just launched another church in the center of Mexico. So we appreciate your prayers. But I would rather ask you to just do it in your life. Amen? And with your church and where you're at. I'd rather see us be a people of faith or stepping out together. And God's got miracles for you too. I'm not the only spiritual and handsome one here. Amen. Why don't you stand with me and let me pray for you, and then I'm going to turn it back over to your pastor, to Tom. Thank you for the privilege of sharing, and really felt a great connection here. It's a great thing to be with the people of God in this place. So, Lord,